We're back for another exciting episode of The Spicy Life. I am your relationship expert and magnetic matchmaker, Spicy Mari. And to join me in the G-spot, that is guest spotlight, do not get scared. We have the beautiful, the amazing Wendy Raquel Robinson. The crowd goes wild.
Yes, at least in my head they are.
Yes. You guys, this woman doesn't even need an introduction, all right? Aww. You recognize her as the baddest chick in the game, the star of the game. So super excited to have you on. Have so many questions for you.
Uh-oh. Well, starting with G-spot. Guest spot. Yes.
But I always warm everyone up with a spicebreaker, okay? So okay. Before we get into this episode, you are going to have to answer this very important question. When did you first fall in love with yourself?
Wow. You know what? I think that's a process that I'm still learning. You know, I just got back from Hawaii where I took a whole self-discovery trip, you know, and said that 23 is for me. But I think it would have to be back when I was in college, and I was just so proud of myself. I went away to Howard University and just being away and on my own and discovering my likes, my wants, my dislikes, my just who I was, not only as an artist, but as a person. I think I started to love myself then, but it's a process.
Yeah,
it's
for sure.
It's definitely a process.
Did you ever find that you fell out of love with yourself and had to refind yourself?
Ooh, girl, every day.
Okay, tell us when you fell out of love with yourself. What happened?
Wow. I didn't fall out of love with myself. I think I fell more out of, not out of love, but the infatuation. Ooh, girl, this is deep. I wasn't ready for that. I wouldn't have had the cocktail before. I think that, I went through a really hard breakup and, you know, just redefining who I was and am, you know, not only as a woman, but as a woman in love.
Yeah.
And not losing myself. I lost myself in a lot of relationships, and that's kind of when it happened.
Mm.
Yeah.
Tips. What
is
did you do?
Is this the kind of show? Is this that kind of show?
Yeah,
girl, we tap start all this. Well, you just make sure you use your body language. I'm like, well, damn. Okay, well, where are we going with this? Yes, but it's great.
So one of the things that I do, right, is teach people how to build intimacy. Part of that is you sharing. Part of that is us connecting and hearing relatable stories from you, things that have happened to you. And my audience gets to understand you better and connect with you more effectively when we know that you're a real human.
Yeah.
Reason why we need to know that you're a real human is because you're a goddamn star.
Oh, ain't no stars but Jesus.
No, but like, Jesus is, so Jesus is like number one superstar, okay? But you're A-lister with him.
Oh, thank
so,
you.
And the reason why I have to say this is because I was already like holding back a little bit was I'm a huge fan. So you got to let me fan out for a second. Been watching you from just like back in the day when you were Piggy and like and then you know you've been on Sinbad and then you know
the black like, sitcom pretty much, yes, back in the day
wow, right
well, thank you
but
thank
then
you.
Like for you to use like the Steve Harvey show to me was like the first time that I was like really like tapped in right to your bossness but then for you to then go to The Game, which I'm from San Diego, so I already connected with like the show being a San Diego show, and I think you were the first introduction to us seeing really this like bad chick who's running her own empire. Before like being a boss bitch was in, you were that. I feel like
thank
we got to
you.
See that in your character.
Wow,
and there, not to mention the fact that you're so freaking hilarious, but you literally carried the entire show for a very long time. I would tune in for you so that I could get my laughs. And then you said so many things that I would like copy and steal and say.
Well, right? That was the writers. A lot of that was the writers, but I did ad-lib.
But delivery matters. So delivery matters though. I can't see anyone else as Tasha Mack other than you. I can't unsee it. And I don't think that anybody else was meant for that role but you.
Thank you.
Really feel like you own it, you embody it. And then just seeing the new season of The Game, the show has stayed so consistently relevant and entertaining is incredible. Okay, so I'm done gassing you up now.
Okay, I'm like, wow. No, I receive it all. You made me fall back in love with myself. So when did I fall back in love with myself? 2 minutes ago. Thank you.
I love it. But I do want us to get like personal here, right? So we'll start first though, just with you sharing, like how is Tasha Mack relatable or connected to the real you, the real Wendy?
Wow. I think she's my alter ego.
Mm.
I really refer to her as that. You know, she's audacious. She's bold. She's unapologetic.
Mm.
So it's all those things that I really wish that I could be.
Yeah.
You know, Wendy has a lot of, it's so interesting you bring that up because I'm conquering a lot of fears that I have. And to pull into my inner Tasha Mack is where I'm trying to go. And to be, and it's like, okay, well, when do you go to get there? But I think there's a lot of things that we have in common with that. Yeah.
Okay. So what about when we're having a bad day? How do we turn it on? Because a lot of us don't know how to turn on that magic or turn on that fire. When you don't feel like being Tasha Mack and being a bad bitch that day,
right.
How do you do it anyways?
I have so many affirmations.
Mm.
Oh my God. So I listen to gratitudes and I write my gratitudes. And it's not just because Oprah says so, but I have gratitude affirmations that I do. Louise Hayes is another mindfulness coach that I listen to. And then I have to surround myself with color and energy, you know, and I pull from everything. Like I'm pulling from the Christmas tree that's still, you know what I mean?
My Christmas tree is
I know
still,
it's not on camera, but when you said star and I was looking at the star, it was just like so many things that even when you were saying that,
yeah.
So I really take in the space that I'm in.
Yep.
I protect my energy.
Yep.
I've learned how to establish boundaries
yep.
a lot more and not just because I'm an empath. So people come around and it's like, I don't like energy drainers. I can't do vampires. And it's like, ooh, I have to really protect my energy.
So you feel other people's energy.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So
yes.
That is tough, right?
It's tough. Because if you're having a bad day, it's like, oh my God, I'm walking through every single thing with you. And I'm just like right there. And it's just like, how can I make it better? I'm such a giver. And what I'm learning is that you can only give to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
Protect your energy or you're depleted.
How has that shown up in relationship with you, with romantic relationship?
Oh, God. Well, maybe that's why I'm single. I'm depleted right now. Oh, God. But yeah, so it shows up in sometimes being an overgiver. And so I'm learning that. I'm learning to protect and to get everything that I need out of my next relationship and love. Because I'm a romantic.
Yeah.
I believe in love to a point. Oh, God. Me and J-Lo's birthdays are a day apart.
Oh, and I love
and
J-Lo.
Sandra Bullock. So it's J-Lo, Wendy, and Sandra Bullock.
So you're a Leo then.
Girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. I just had a baby and he's a Leo.
Oh, so watch out, girl.
Yes.
I prayed for Leo.
Yes, he's August.
Oh, okay. That's Obama. That's, yes. You know, Hallie.
But I prayed for that. He was going to be a Virgo when I had a conversation with God and I was like,
I can't do a Virgo.
I'm married to a Capricorn, so there's strong Capricorn energy in the house. And I'm a Capricorn.
Oh.
I couldn't do a Virgo. And God bless me. Like, we're like this.
That is
so
great.
Yes, I had my Leo baby.
Oh, good.
So I already know what that Leo energy is.
Oh, I love it. Steve Harvey's a Capricorn. Yeah.
The best
yeah.
men are. I'm
wow.
telling you.
Maybe I need a Capricorn.
So you are going to, I am going to get personal because I have heard about personal things that have happened to you in marriage and in relationship, right? And
hear?
I know you have to use you have to use some of that, I'm sure, in your role, right, as Tasha Mack. So on the new game on Paramount Plus, okay, so the game that revived and came back on Paramount Plus.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the first season, it showed you having a tumultuous relationship with your husband, Pookie. There was trials and tribulations that you guys were experiencing as you being this career-oriented woman who owns her own agency and you have these very high-profile clients, you not having enough time and energy to dedicate necessarily to the family household.
Right, right.
Have you experienced any of that in your own personal life when it came to having a successful career and having to tape all the time? How did you juggle?
Oh, I think that's the challenge that, you know, comes with the acting and any job. How do you balance work? How do you balance life? And I run a school full time.
Wow.
A nonprofit, you know, so I'm wearing so many different hats and so many different personalities. And that's why I said it's learning to find those boundaries. And I had to learn the hard way, you know, because somebody's going to suffer. I ended up suffering more.
How so?
Because I wasn't able to give as much as I wanted to the things that really mattered to me. And so I found myself almost in a tailspin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, what's going to be best for Wendy?
Yeah.
So I had to stop that. You know, everything that spirals downward always comes back up. So on the way back up where I feel I am now, it's learning to prioritize what makes sense, what is best for me, without feeling like it's being selfish, but it's just self-care and self-love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That had to have been hard, though, because you had a marriage of 16 years. Right? Was it about 16?
Yeah. It was 13.
13.
But we were separated for six.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did you handle that, like, hardship or that emotional, you know, like, I want to say emotional turmoil that you're probably going through, and then still having to show up every day with a smile on your face, being kind to your coworkers, to your colleagues on set? How did that affect you?
Well, it wasn't a tumultuous relationship. You know what I mean? If anything, it's like, you know, people grow apart or people can grow together. But it wasn't that it was tumultuous. It was just filming in Atlanta, you know, trying to, you know, live your life, trying to do so much. And I think we just really grew apart. We got married kind of young, sort of, young mentally. And I think we just didn't assess. I always say, if you go through a divorce, maybe that's how you should enter the marriage. Because the way that we divorced, everything was laid out. And if everything is laid out, the clarity, the, you know, there are no blurred lines. There's no, oh, I'm just so emotionally engulfed in all of this that I just don't see it all. So when you see everything and it's all laid out, you know, it's just, it's speaking to the head more so than the heart. But sometimes you need to lean towards that to a greater understanding.
Because a lot of people will tap out. A lot of people will say, oh no, I'm out the game. Even though you're still on the game, right?
No pun intended.
Yes, but a lot of people would say, like, I'm done with love, I give up. And a lot of people have. How did you not give up on love after that experience?
It's so funny. My birthday is July 25th, and it's supposed to be the day of quixotic. So, you know, there's erotic, exotic, but then quixotic. Quixotic is that, you know, in love with love, like Don Quixote. You know, it's the whole, and I still believe in it. I do. I really believe in love. My parents, they would have been married 70 years.
70. Wow.
I lost my dad about 3.5 years ago.
Oh, my condolences.
Yeah. So I was born and raised in a home where, you know, united we stand.
Yep.
You know, it didn't work for me, but I do believe that, you know, there is a wonderful mate out there, a partnership. I look at it now as a partnership.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you got to go through shit to understand, how to work this out, why it didn't work, and this, that, and the other. But, yeah, I believe there's a wonderful partnership out there. So maybe I still see things as rose-colored glasses, but I do.
Do you feel like,
I'm so Tinkerbell and Wendy and Peter Pan.
No, but that's good. We need more of that, right? Like, we need to stay in high vibration even after we experience some of life's, like, hardships.
Yeah.
Not everything is always a win. Sometimes it, you know, feels like a loss, but really it's a learning lesson. If you had to take any footnotes of, like, these are the key elements that I learned about marriage, or this is what I learned about even myself during that process, what would you tell us?
I would tell you to open up, to communicate, to not try and, I held my breath a lot and didn't really be as transparent and as authentic at times. I remember, you know, God, it was like my 40th birthday and I had spent all this money and I was like, oh, we're going to take this trip. And I was like, I don't want to go. I was like, what? I don't want to go. Okay. And the lesson that I should have done was, okay, well, I have to go and I'm going to go and just be okay with that, as opposed to, you know, there's an ebb and flow where you do have to compromise.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't want to put myself on the back burner.
Yeah.
It's for what? You know what I mean? I don't want to change. What? For what? You know what I mean? And there are different attachment styles. You know, there's anxious, secure, and the avoidant. Yes. So I've been doing the work. So now I think, and just doing the work and understanding not only my attachment style, but also just knowing more about who I am.
So you would say that because you didn't communicate, you were leaning into avoidant?
I was leaning more into an anxious avoidant. Which, you know, sometimes they can kind of cross-pollinate.
Yep.
And maybe in my marriage, it was more, I was secure in the marriage. I felt secure, but then there were times where it was like, it just, oh, girl, you're taking me back. Because it's been, we've been separated, it'd be almost 7 years. And then you go back, it's almost 20. So, I say the greatest takeaway that I have from that is the more that I'm learning to love myself and know myself, the greater I will be for my next partnership.
Beautiful.
To move on from that. Yeah.
Beautiful. What makes us withhold? What makes us not share how we feel about situations such as your birthday? What keeps us quiet? And so I know you mentioned detachment style, but what is it? What are the thoughts that you're telling yourself and what you're afraid of? If like people who, just like you, avoid those tough conversations or have a hard time expressing how they feel. I want to know for you, Wendy Raquel, why were we withholding? What were we afraid of?
Now, I can't speak for the we. I can only speak for the me. And it depends, especially on what the topic is. It's so interesting. I was talking to one of my girlfriends and she was like, you're so non-confrontational and you this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
I said, listen, I don't have the capacity to sit up here and go back. What are we solving for? So let's get to what we're solving for. What is that? And then as opposed to, okay, people want to debate for hours.
Yep.
I don't have the capacity for that. I got to run a business. I got to run my life. I got properties. I got so many other things.
Yep.
That, you know, provide me happiness, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, so what are we solving for? So it's not that I hold back just in terms of, you know, I don't want to have these conversations, but maybe in my marriage, I wasn't as forthcoming, like I said, you know, with the Hawaii trip. Mm-hmm. I remember that. And then I held it in. And then the chakras, you know, I started, no, for real.
That's real.
With your chakras, your center. You hold it in. Yes. Look like I'm holding in this little stomach right here. I hope I still look cute. But you hold it in and it's not healthy.
At all.
And that creates dis-ease in your life.
Yeah, stress. Tension.
And so I did. I suffered from fibroids and I really believe that is the trigger that started it because this is your center and you cannot live without living in your truth.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. I have it painted on the walls at my school, to thine own self be true. I tell it to the kids all the time, but it's like, but what are you doing, Miss Wendy? And it was like, oh, I have to start walking in my truth.
Yeah.
And it's okay. So
you mentioned off camera a second ago
to
therapy.
Yeah.
At what point in your life did you start that? Because a lot of people are fearful of therapy. They're like, oh, no, I don't want to open Pandora's box.
Right.
They're not open to it sometimes. At what point did you say, I need therapy? This is something that's going to help or enhance my life.
4 months ago.
Wait.
Girl.
I love how everyone's like, I go to therapy. Like, we just started therapy. Okay.
I did. No, actually, it was like, no, I did. You know, coming out of COVID, I really feel that there is a post-COVID kind of, everybody's not the same.
Yeah.
Something's a little off.
There was a shift.
Huge shift in the universe. And so I've always given people grace. It's like, okay, all right, that's okay. Have patience. Mm-hmm. Grace is that moment you take before you go off.
Right.
Grace.
That pause.
That pause. Have a moment. Boom. So there's grace with that. But I went through so many losses. And right when we came back to shoot this season, it was in July. And I had lost one of my best friends. I had to put my dog down.
Oh, my God.
It was just a guy I was dating. It was like, it just didn't, you know, go. It was just like, boom, 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 boom. And then you got to get out there and make America laugh. And you're number one on the call sheet. So what are we going to do? Because, yeah, you got to show up, you know.
How?
And it was like, I got to show up for myself. And I had to deal with those things and learn to unpack, release, and, you know, just protect it all.
Yeah.
So actually through the studios, yeah. I had a great, it was over Zoom and it was just wonderful, but it also helped me to examine myself and to look at myself and to really write down those things, coping mechanisms,
yes.
You know what I mean? Like look around the room, like I said, oh, find the joy, find the light, find the things that could bring me back to mindfulness, you know, because I started doing mindfulness walking while I was in COVID because I couldn't go to the gym. So I just walk. I live in it's the area like this. And
yeah.
I do those heels and put on my tapes. And that's how I got into my affirmations, this, that, and the other.
Because
it was an interesting time. It was a dark time. So I had to be my own light.
Yeah.
And after a while, you can only be your own cheerleader without, I need a jolt. I need some help.
Yeah.
And just would have wonderful conversations just to get stuff off my head, off my heart, and just talk to somebody that had an unbiased opinion that could just kind of give me, you know, great reading materials and just, you know, a soundboard.
I love this.
And I needed it.
I love this. I love
I needed it more than I thought.
It's turned into an ad for therapy right now through your testimony.
hey.
No, but
prayer is great. I'm a child of God. I believe in that too. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you just need, sometimes the scientific approach helps a lot more too.
I believe there needs to be a blend.
Yes,
so I think
absolutely.
That you can definitely merge mm-hmm. your spirituality also with psychology. Mm-hmm. I think that those go hand in hand to God created our minds. He built us for a reason to be as intelligent as we are.
Absolutely.
Why would he not give us the tools to be able to support one another?
Absolutely. And that's all it was basically. Yeah. And she was, I've never even met her in person.
Yeah. But that's okay. That's how we're doing therapy in 2023, right?
Absolutely.
It is over Zoom. Now you don't have to leave the comfort of your home or set in order to do it. But I love that you are so open and honest and transparent about doing it at this point in your life. Because a lot mm-hmm. of people think like, well, it's too late. I am who I am.
No.
And that's not the case.
We're always evolving. Like you said, when did I fall in love with myself?
Yeah.
When did I fall out of love? It's a process. And I call life, it's just a work in progress.
Yep.
And a work in process.
Yep.
So it's both of those. And I just look at myself like, yeah, that's where I am. Who I am today is not who I was yesterday or maybe even 10 minutes ago when I walked into the house because I had on a whole other outfit. Honey, I'm going to give you somebody else. Okay. Now I'm like, yes. Open up the window. Yes.
But you can do that though also because you look so freaking good.
Like, bless your heart.
We were able to like do a little wardrobe change within a matter of minutes. Give me those tips. Like, how are we staying so fly like through decades, right? I was telling my girlfriend, we were talking about like wardrobe for the episode when you were coming on. And I was like, well, I already know she's going to come fierce because I've never seen her not fierce like on red carpets and then also on your show. And I'm just like,
thank you.
She's going to come with it. How do we stay so freaking fly? How do we stay in great shape? What are we doing? Our skin is glowing. Give me all the tips.
Well, it's called Glam Squad. Shout out to the glam that's over here. Yes. Okay. But every day, no, it's not like this. I don't wake up like this. But like I said, I discovered walking.
Walking is literally the secret.
When the gyms were closed. I started as a dancer. Mm-hmm. So, I've been dancing for years. That's why I was like, oh, you want me to take off my shoes?
Yes.
But I would go on these mindful walks with nature. And next thing I know on my little pedometer, it's like, you have done 8 miles.
Yep.
And it's like, wait, huh? What? And I would just get lost not only to what I'm listening to, but just taking in everything that I'm saying. I just started back at the gym. So 2023, I'm like, I'm committed to getting into the best shape of my life.
Better than what you are now?
Girl, I'm not where I am. You know what I mean? You know when your body is right. You know when your body right. You know what I mean?
This is
smoke and mirrors right now.
No, this but you look really, really good. I'm like, dang, it.
And make sure you sit up tall like
this.
I feel like I'm sitting like this. Yes, this is the best shape of my life. But no, it's like you can... Where I'm starting now in January and where I hope to be and pray to be in December will just be, and it's a mental, mm-hmm. it's a mental shift for me, not just physical, but it's
important
mental.
Too. I completely, trust me, I get it. Not everybody knows what the heck mindful walks are though.
Mm.
Break that down. Because people are listening like, mindful walk, what do I do for that?
What do I do? Maybe that's a phrase that I've coined.
Okay,
but,
break that down. What is that
there's
for
There's an app and it's called Mindfulness.
Okay.
And so they have different meditations that are on there. And like I said, even my affirmations, I go on YouTube and I just go through it all. Everything from, your horoscope for today. But it's like, I go from there to, T.D. Jakes, to Les Brown, and just listen to motivational things that just really inspire me and just bring me back to one and empower me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just walking and listening. And, fortunately where I live is beautiful scenery.
Yeah.
So I'm being mindful of the leaves. I'm being mindful. Mm. I've even seen how the seasons change. And when I was in Atlanta, oh my God.
Those are real seasons.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was
so
just
beautiful.
So beautiful. I would be in Piedmont Park from next thing I know, it's
almost
gorgeous. 3 hours have gone through. And, here I am just walking.
I love this because I do this too. So I'm a huge hiker. I love to hike. These hills I can hike all day, right?
Right.
So mine might be mindfulness walks, but I would call them mindfulness hikes, okay?
Okay,
because I'm
right.
going up the mountains. But that is my time when I have conversations with God,
mm-hmm.
conversations with self.
Yes.
I start doing my to-do list in my head as well.
Right.
But I love that you're saying that you like tap out and sometimes you're listening to audios. And mm-hmm. it is important what we absorb, right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys, if you're listening and you aren't doing mindfulness walks, I love this spicy tip from Wendy, because what she's saying is like, take time for self. Mm. And even if you don't have that much time in your week, right? So maybe you can't squeeze in a therapy session, but maybe you could do a 15 to 20 minute walk in between a work break.
Right.
And take that time to just really relax and yes. give yourself the self-care that you need is what yes. you're saying. Like, that's beautiful.
And it sometimes it's relaxing, but sometimes it's also those endorphins. Like you said, you know, it gets that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the to-do list. I'm going too fast. But like when I'm at the gym, like I love the elliptical, but I love it for a different reason.
Okay.
I would learn my lines on it.
Oh.
So I wouldn't just tap out.
I like it because it's an easier workout for me. Like it's not as hard as a run.
Right, right. But but that also keeps me, you know.
But I love that yours is strategic. But mine is very strategic.
It's like, honey, it's like, woo, if I told you how many scripts and scenes and, you know, the work that I've learned and monologues on the elliptical, and next thing I know, boom, an hour's gone by. And it's like, not only do I know my lines, but I know my fines.
Ooh.
I know my lines, my other lines.
Lines yeah. are fine. Okay, yeah. I like that. I like that. That's thank perfect.
You. Yeah.
Question, because, so memorization, how are you, this is just like a work-related question. Woo. How do you memorize so much freaking information? Because what I do, right, when I'm talking to my clients, when I'm even doing the podcast, mm-hmm. it's very much in that moment, just being myself and giving someone what they need in that moment. But when it comes mm-hmm. to lines, you're portraying another person. You're right. stepping into a role of someone else who's lived another life, and you are now mm-hmm. the vessel that gives this information out in their world.
Right.
But how are you memorizing their life?
Ah, well, you know what's interesting? The root word of rehearsal is to rehear.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's also great when you have a partner or somebody that you can, you know, do the lines back and forth with
yeah.
that helps it seep in. But if you don't have that, like I said, learning and I look at the situation. I look at also the intention. Where is this character emotionally with that? And then sometimes the lines just kind of come to me.
Yeah.
The hard thing about TV is that it's a writer's medium. So you have to be verbatim. You know what I mean?
You have to repeat it as they want it.
Ooh, as it is written.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes but it's like, it's not this,
to copy?
It is that. It's not, and it's for. You know what I mean? Because it does change. It changes the intention
yeah.
as well. So there's that element. But a lot of times when I really think about what the intention is and the emotional space that character is in, it also helps. So I start with that. And then when I have like a treacherous monologue and not enough time, I take it by the alliteration. You know, you take the first letter yeah. of each thing and you kind of see it like that. And then boom, it'll happen. Yeah, it comes to it. Yeah.
So I'm currently watching The Game right now. Season 2 is back and I'm absolutely loving it. Okay. It you haven't missed a beat ever. You just, this when I tell you this role was meant for you.
Thank you.
With everyone like what we can expect this season. What we could look forward to, like give us some insight so that we can get gassed up, because I need everybody geeked on this show the way I am.
Oh, thank you. You know what's so crazy? I feel like it's art imitating life, or is life imitating art?
Right.
In terms of the arc, you know, with myself. So last season, you know, we tackled mental health, mm-hmm. we tackled colorism, hairism, all of those different things. But I feel like now, you know, Tasha is really, she spiraled all the way down, you know, and damn near lost everything, almost her mind. And so now you're going to see the effects that it takes on her body, on her soul. So it was a heavy season for me.
Wow.
Yeah. That's and another reason why I needed therapy,
was yeah.
like, oh, so we really doing this, you know, in terms of my artistic
yeah.
endeavor, which had always been my escape. But no, artistically, you're going to deal with some shit.
Yep.
And now in your life, you're going to deal with some shit. And it just, it balances out, because it became therapeutic and allowing me to see it in that way. But getting back to your question, what are you going to see? You are going to see a woman who is not only resilient, but is tenacious. And when I say she is tenacious, she is by any means necessary. Whether I go back to that life
yeah.
that I had as an agent and a boss,
yeah.
you know, or do I take all of those things that I've learned and lost and change those lessons into blessings?
similar to what you have done in your life.
In my life. Okay. It was crazy. It was like an awe-inspiring season.
Yes.
You know, and that's why I was like, I need to talk to somebody because it was just too...
It was a lot.
It was too parallel to everything. You know, and sometimes you wonder, it's like, okay, are the writers following me in my head? It's like, no, they not. This is crazy. You know, even with, you know, some of her physical ailments that she's going through. It was like, wow. And I had a great, it's wonderful being a producer on a show because I'm able to really have those authentic conversations.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, if we're going to tackle these storylines, let's make sure we're coming from a real place where we can use it to, you know, to help others that are going through this.
Oh, I love this. So, I love this is your way of giving back to others.
Yeah.
I did see the mental health that you guys were tackling and I'm like, dang, this is a dope concept. Even when you guys were showcasing last season that Malik was seeing his friend because, you know, the stress levels that were induced or the lack of attention or love they may have felt like he was getting from you.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that that was so important that we were even covering that because within the Black community, there is still a stigma around mental health that we are fighting mm-hmm. every day. And
absolutely.
This is why I have the podcast. I'm pushing. Like, you guys do the work. Don't be afraid. We are available. There's resources towards helping your mental health.
Mm-hmm.
But even this episode is going to shine light to someone who may be like withholding or withdrawn or mm-hmm. feel, you know, a little afraid to do it. Like knowing that you did it and you mm-hmm. found a way throughout your day with all your lines that you got to memorize, the elliptical, your walks, you still fit in time for a therapy session.
You have to. In therapy, that became first and foremost. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And everything else, okay, will fall in line after that. Yeah. But Tasha's going through... wow, she takes off her superwoman cape.
Mm.
You know, so many times we put on that cape and it's like, I've got this.
Yep.
And it's like, and everything else is crumbling around her. But now everything has crumbled and now the cape must come off.
I love this.
You got to take that time to look yourself in the mirror and say, you know, who am I? What am I? And why am I?
Okay, how are we take the cape off. We are letting Superwoman chill for a second, but how are we making time in our personal life to find love and dating right now?
Girl, I don't know. You the matchmaker.
So
that's what you're going to help me.
What I'm hearing is that we're
going to reverse this. We're going to put that thing in reverse it. If it's just
if you're fine or not.
And you know what's so crazy? It's like, so where do you meet people? I don't go out. I work. I run my business. I do my events. And it's like,
I got you. We're gonna do a whole another sidebar.
We're gonna do it, girl.
Personal.
We've been talking for about the last 45 minutes.
We're gonna do a whole another sidebar personal conversation.
Okay.
On the low. But you are gonna let everybody know where they can find you, your organization, your business.
Oh, yes.
Tell everybody, share all that information because I know you are on a time crunch, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So let everybody know where they can find you and watch the show and catch just any more content that they want of you.
Oh, absolutely. So please follow me on Instagram at I am Wendy Raquel. I am, because you ain't. That's my little tag. I am Wendy Raquel, R-A-Q-U-E-L. Don't do that, baby. Shut up. And then, of course, you know, the game is streaming now on Paramount Plus, and you can catch all of the episodes between Netflix and Hulu, but definitely
you're everywhere.
Paramount Plus.
Yeah. Every network.
That's okay. It's a beautiful thing. And Amazing Grace Conservatory. Please follow us. That's my, that's the greatest footprint I'm going to leave on this planet. And it's beyond a passion project. It's a purpose project.
I love it. I'm so blessed to have you on.
Thank you.
Can always play with my Twitter, stroke my IG at SpicyMari. Go to thespicylife.com. Click and subscribe. Download this episode. Share it with a friend. And there you guys have it. You have just been spiced.
The Spicy Life.
I love it.
Yay.
So what did you say? Your Twitter, what?
You could play with my Twitter or stroke my IG.
Play with my Twitter. Show my IG. Thank you.
Yes.